Good to be with you today, and to be able to sing praises to our God is a blessed privilege we have, and I'm very grateful that we've been able to do that this morning. I've been grateful that we've been able to bow our heads and give Him the glory and honor that He's so richly deserving of in our prayers, and as well as partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. I hope that the lesson this morning aids in your walk with God. This month, we're looking into our own life and examining where we are in our walk with God. And I thought there's no better text than the Bible. And Brother Ben, yes, I am going to the book of Psalm eventually here this morning in Psalm 100 and looking into that Psalm and with you. I've done that, I believe, twice since I've been here at Greenwood. And each time I get into that Psalm, there's something new, something deeper that I've found in that Psalm. And I want to share some of those thoughts with you this morning. I would definitely say if there's ever a time that we leave the building and we've not examined what we've done, we've really failed in our walk with God. And I would add to that, to enter into a service and not to have examined ourselves before we come into service and see where we're at with our relationship with God and to get our hearts where our hearts and minds needs to be, I would dare say that we've probably gone through service and not been affected by anything that's been done or said. And so I hope that you are ready, you've done that, but that you are ready to hear God's message preached to you this morning. I will also add to this. This evening I'm going to be presenting a lesson on the birth of Jesus. It won't be the normal where He was born. He was born in a manger and things of that nature. But we're going to look about God, Spirit, coming and presiding in the flesh of man. And so it will be a meat and potatoes type lesson. And so I will encourage you to come back and be with us tonight. And those of you that don't normally come back, I want to encourage you to come back and be here tonight and hear a little bit more about Jesus. And maybe you've struggled with that. How can God be both, Jesus be both flesh and deity at the same time? And so we'll talk about some of those ideas tonight at our 4:30 service. In Acts chapter 14, it's kind of an interesting text to me. Before too long in the adult class, we'll be getting there and discussing what we find in Acts chapter 14. But we find that in verse 8, there is a man who is crippled, and he's been crippled from his womb. He has never walked. And Paul, seeing, I think this is interesting. Can somebody see our faith? Now, we often hear people say, don't judge me, you know. But here we find a situation where Paul observed this individual, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. What does that look like? Have you ever stopped to think about that? I know one of the blessings and cursings about preaching is that I get to look at you, and you don't often know that I'm looking at you. Some preachers keep their heads down and never look up. That's not me. I want to. My goal in services is to preach the gospel, but to make eye contact with every single person that's in the building with every sermon that I preach. I've done that for the most part already. But it is a cursing because I can look at some people and I wonder, are they there? You know, and some I can judge by what we're saying here. And I know they're not there because I can see their nostril hairs. We're sleeping, but not this man. Paul, as he examines this individual, he observes him very intently, and he sees that this man here, that this man has faith to be healed. And so, as we see here, with a loud voice, stand up straight in your feet, and he leapt and walked. Here's a man that has never walked before. We know people that have been sick and been in beds of hospitals, and for them to get up after they've been on their back for a long time, they have to kind of learn how to walk again. Brother Ryan's dealing with that right now. Here's a man that has never walked. He's told to get up, and what does he do? This is an amazing miracle that happens here. He leaps and walked. Well, surely that would be a cause for everybody to turn their eyes, turn their minds and their hearts, not only to the message that's being given, But that's the whole purpose of miracles, is to provide a door for you to see the power of God. Surely in this instance here, after seeing this, these people knowing this man from birth, it would cause them to turn their hearts to God. Is that what we see happen here in this text? No, we don't, do we? Matter of fact, we find the opposite listed for us here. Men determined to do what they want to do, how they want to do it. They drag him out, they stone him, and leave him, presuming that he's dead. If they had a thought in their minds that he was still alive, they would have continued to stone him. But looking at him, looking at the shape that his body was in and his lack of response, they presumed him to be dead, and they go back into the city about their business. And I think it's interesting in all of this. You see what's recorded to us? However, the disciples gathered around him. He rose up and went to the city and departed the next day with Barnabas to Derbe. Yeah, it astounds me how quickly, here's this great miracle that happens, intending to lead people to God. That's God's desire. It always has been his desire to have your hearts and minds. And he's done things, he said things to make that happen, make an opportunity for us to be there. But yet, here, he's drug out, he's stoned. What's he do? He gets up, goes in the city, and goes on to the next city to preach the gospel. That's astounding to me. How does that fit in with what we want to talk about this morning with our daily walk? I want us to center in just for a second on verse 17 of this text. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Even without the miracle, they had what they needed to have their hearts and their minds, their spiritual walk, right with God. And I'm here to say this morning, so do we. We have no excuse this morning not to live the life that God has called us to live. It doesn't matter our background, it doesn't matter our upbringing, it doesn't matter the influences that are around us. God expects us to live a God-fearing life here on this side of eternity. And so I want us to stop and think for just a second and evaluate our spiritual walk with God. If I asked you this morning, if you are right with God, what would your answer be? I dare say it's a rhetorical question. Most of us this morning would say, yes, I am right with God. I'm here, aren't I? That would be the response probably of most of us. There would be some in our group that are probably humble enough to say, you know what, I don't know. But we should know. That's the idea. That's the reason we test, examine, and know ourselves to see if we're in the faith, the text that we're looking at this month. And so I would ask you to study with me very intently this morning the book of Psalm in 100. Will you turn there with me this morning? I love this psalm. Again, like I said, I've preached on this in gospel meetings. I've done it here several times. I believe that this psalm teaches us a great deal about how we should walk with our God. And my hope and prayer this morning is that you'll evaluate Psalm 100 in light of your life. And if there's something that you need to change in your life, I pray that you have enough courage this morning to say that this morning is the day that I change my life for the rest of this life. That I live in humble service with my God. Come what may, it does not matter. I will serve Him with all my heart. Can you confidently say that's you this morning? If you're like me, you could probably say at times, yes, that's me. But if you're honest with yourself, you probably would say to yourself, there are times when that's not me. And I hope that this lesson serves as a strong encouragement to you to walk as God expects a child of God to walk. Psalm 100 and verse 1, we'll start there and pull out 2 points from this text. And one thing that I might add to this, when we look at Psalm 100, it appears to me, if the psalmist is telling us, it's on you. God is not going to make you happy. He's not going to fill you with joy with no choice of your own. God will do great and awesome things in your life. But it's on you to walk the way of Psalm 100. It's on you. You will be judged by this walk. And so because we'll be judged by this walk, it would behoove us not to evaluate to see how we are walking. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. I want to focus on the first part of the second, for just this morning. The slide isn't to correlate with the national championships either. That was just by chance that those colors ended up there. But make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I think all of us understand and appreciate, as a child of God, that He is to be worshipped by happy people. Do you know that? I wonder sometimes if we really understand. Keep your place in the book of Psalm chapter 100, and I want us to turn over to the New Testament. This is a text that we're very familiar with. Matter of fact, we have a song that we sing at VBS that goes along and correlates with this verse. I've heard many sermons preached on this text. I've sat through many classes that have been offered on this text as well. But we fail to struggle with this text. You might be asking, what text is it? Tell me, I want to turn over there. Galatians chapter 5. You know where I'm going, don't you? We have this text memorized. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 22, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what's the very next thing that's listed for us? Joy. Joy is listed for us. That's the very next fruit of the Spirit. And I will say, it's not fruits of the Spirit. It's singular. Fruit of the Spirit. If we're going to walk as a child of God, we ought to walk with joy. Well, what does that mean? When I'm struggling and I have heartaches and pains in my life, am I not allowed to shed tears? No, you're allowed to. God has given you those emotions. And those emotions are good. And we ought to use them. But when one looks at us and they visualize what makes us up, an unhappy spirit should be the last thing that somebody thinks of when they think of you as a child of God. What they should see in us, what they should remember in us, is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. All of these things should radiate from us. And so I want to focus on this idea that we find in Psalm chapter 100 and verse 1, this idea of joy. Let's go back to our text there, as we've looked at Galatians. Again, I did that for a reason. That's a text that we sing about. We understand. We study about it. How many sermons have you heard preached on it? How many classes have you taught on it? But we fail sometimes miserably when it comes to living as a child of God and this summing us up. And that's got to change in our lives. God has done so much for us. That's what Acts chapter 14 teaches us. He's done so much for us. How dare we live a life that He's blessed us with to live? He's called us His child. He's adopted us into His family. But yet we're going to walk a completely different way than He longs for us to walk. He's given us forgiveness by sending His Son to this earth. And yet we're going to walk around with a frown on our face 24/7 and complain and complain and complain. You see, that's what the children of Israel did. And it got them in a whole heap of trouble often as they walked with God. We're not to complain. We're not to grumble. We're not to be an upset people all the time. But we're to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. What in the world does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean to you when we look at this text here? I think it's interesting. Right here in the heart of the Old Testament, there's an anticipation of a worldwide gospel that is to come. All the lands of the earth are going to be blessed with this message that is going to come through Jesus Christ, His Son. Not just the Jews can be happy, but all mankind can be happy because there's hope in this message. Jesus is going to come and He's going to die, as we talked about this morning, for all. All can have the opportunity to get their life right with God. I'm here to say this morning that if you are here and you are not a child of God, that there is still hope for you. There is joy found in forgiveness of sins. And the message of the cross is for you. Does not matter your upbringing, as I mentioned just a second ago. Doesn't matter if you were raised, quote unquote, in the church or not. The message is for you. Right here in the heart of the Old Testament, Luke chapter 24, although not quoted, the message is plain and clear. In Luke chapter 24, in verse 46, speaking about the land, Luke chapter 24 and verse 46, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. You see, right from the very start, God always had a plan for redeeming mankind. It didn't fail. His purpose and plan didn't fail with Adam and Eve. He had a predetermined plan for mankind to be redeemed from their sins. And that was Jesus Christ. And we find him prophesied about all through the Old Testament. That he would come and die, give his life a ransom for all. And so right here in the heart of the Old Testament, in the book of Psalm, in chapter 100 and in verse 1, we find that we are to be joyful people because Christ is going to come. Forgiveness of sins will be offered to all mankind. Verse 2, we're to walk with glad service. Are you joyful? That's the first measure or examination that needs to take place in our life. Do you grumble a lot? Do you complain a lot? Do you love to gossip about other people and their situations? Then boy, you better take inventory. Because it's very clear in scriptures how the Christian is to be. He's to have a walk of glad service. Did you catch that? In Psalm chapter 100 and verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. There it is again. Come before his presence with singing. What is that making reference to? Serve the Lord with gladness. Find a way to serve him in whatever you do. You know, it's kind of interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's turn over there for just a second this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to bring a point out from that text. We recently went through this book in the adult class, in the high school class. But I want us to stop for just a moment. And although the message here is uniquely different to us and underneath the Christian dispensation and what this looks like, but we are to have a walk of glad service before the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 31, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Have you ever stopped to think about that text? I've heard that text read a million times before. How in the world can we demonstrate that we are giving glory to God with what we eat and what we drink? That's kind of an interesting thought to think of, and I chewed on that this past week, and I will ask you to go home and think about that yourself. But it's very clear when we look at scriptures that whether we are eating or drinking, whether we are walking, whether we are talking, whether we are at work or school, recreation, sickness or in health, we are to live a life in all of those aspects, demonstrating to others that the glory belongs to our God. You see, it's one thing to understand it, and it's a whole nother thing to live it. We are to serve with gladness. You're asked to lead singing. Your response should never be okay. You're asked to lead a prayer. The response should never be if you have nobody else. You see, what that demonstrates, not only to those that we are responding like that to, but also to God, is that we are not happy about what we are doing. Lord, if you have to inconvenience me, I guess I will give you the glory that you're so richly deserving of. Boy, how many of us parents want that response from our kids? Tell them to go clean the room, and the response is not a good response. How do we respond with that? We tell our little girl, go change your dress, honey. It's too short. You can't wear that anymore. And they respond with a flippant mouth back to us. How would we respond as fathers in those situations? You see, I can't help but think, as God looks down upon us, and how we respond to our humble service to Him. He's given us everything. He's given us the opportunity to be right with Him. He's called us into His family. He's given us everything. That's what Acts chapter 14 teaches. Why should we feel good about responding in an unfavorable way to the service that He's called us to partake in? You know, we read this morning about how the early Christians sold their possessions. You know what I didn't read in there? That they grumbled that they had to do that. See, because they didn't have to do that. They did it because they first gave themselves to the Lord, and that was a natural reaction to the need that was supplied. And they were overcome with joy to give and to help in those circumstances. And so, brethren, we are to serve with gladness. Is that you? Do we grumble about evening services? Do we grumble about having to go to Bible class? I said this a million times before with my kids. Sometimes when they were younger, they would say to me, do we have to go to second services? How do you respond to a child that says that? Do you tell them, yes, as long as you live underneath my house, you're going to go? Or do we try to plant seeds of encouragement to them to help them realize it's not something that you have to do, it's something you should want to do. It's something you should long to do. Right? As we serve the Lord, let's make sure that people observe in us a gladness to live the life that we are doing and to perform that act of service to give glory and honor to God. Come before His presence with singing. You know, I'm about to partake in a few weeks of something that had a tremendous impact on me when I was young in the faith, 16 years old. And that's sitting in a gymnasium and listening to 2,700 people sing praises to our God. Boy, that moves you. Do you know when we gather together every first day of the week? Anytime we're together and we're singing praises to our God, that it should be a foretaste of what heaven will be like? I've said this before. If we're not happy about being at services and worshiping our God, brethren, you might as well quit your walk with God. I don't know what we're expecting heaven to be like. I think some people think that there's going to be fine golf courses up there, and there's going to be large screen TVs, and we're going to be able to watch any movie that we want to watch. I think we have a distorted view of what heaven will be like. We get to heaven. Do you know what we're going to be doing in heaven? Singing praises to our God. We're going to worship our God. And I hate to use this, but for us and our frail minds, it helps us to understand, night and day, that's what we'll do. And if we're not content and excited about doing that here, then what are we living for? We say we want heaven, but do we really want heaven and what heaven holds for us? Brethren, it should never be an issue with us about wanting to be together and worshiping our God. It should be a longing for us. It should be a song that's on our lips and in our minds constantly, 24 hours a day. Listen, I'm the preacher here. I know I've got to be here. But I'm very conscientious about that. I'm here because I want to be here. And if that changes, And I start playing the part. I hope somebody points that out to me. A walk of glad service. What does God see in our heart about our service today? Very quickly, as we begin to wind this lesson down, a walk of knowledge. We need to know that the Lord, He is God. Did you catch that in Psalm 100 and verse 3? Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and we are His sheep in His pasture. I want to go through this very quickly this morning. There is only one true God. And we prove our knowledge of Him by our obedience to Him. And it's not just about action, but it's about, as we talked about just a few moments ago, it's about the inward man being renewed day by day. It's not just about a suit and a tie. I sometimes think that that's what we perceive in the church today. The guy with the tie on is more spiritual than the guy who doesn't have a tie on. The lady who has jewelry on and has her face made up is more spiritual than the mother who barely got herself up and got here on time. I think sometimes that's how we judge each other, but that's not how God judges us. And it's definitely as He looks down upon us and He views our knowledge of Him, we are judged by obedience to Him, both inward and outward. What does He see? More importantly, as you look into the mirror and examine your life, what do you see? Do you believe that there's only one true God? If you do, then move to follow Him. Don't follow your own opinions or the opinions of others, but follow Him. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. You see, it's easier for us to believe that God created all than to believe that we are an accident that simply happened by a bunch of atoms that fashioned themselves together and boom, a million trillion years later, here is our society today. It's much easier for us to believe that someone created us, designed things as they are. I'll tell you, the atheist that says there is no God, boy, he's got greater faith than I do. I'll tell you that much right now. He created us. He made us. And we weren't accidents that just happened. We are His people. We are sheep of His pasture. And that tells me that in my life, I am valued. I am valued not because of who I am, but the price that was paid for me. His Son came to this earth. It's a great honor to be chosen, a great privilege to be part of the family of God. And I wonder sometimes as Christians if we shake our fists at God. Yeah, your Son died for me, but I deserve it. The song leading was too slow. The preaching was too long. Wasn't informative enough. On and on and on. We judge how we want things. And I think when we do those things, we're shaking our fists at God. We are His people. He's adopted us into His family. It's His family. We are His sheep. It is a privilege to be part of the family of God. And I'll tell you, when we have privileges on this side of eternity, we're very aware of that, aren't we? I remember many years ago asking Heather's father for Heather's hand in marriage. And he told me alongside the woodshed, you don't deserve them. It's a privilege, and I hope you don't abuse that privilege. Do you grasp that as a child of God? He didn't have to die for you. But He loved you. He gave Himself for you that you might have the opportunity to be right with Him. Being part in the family of God also means that you can be taken out. That's the idea with a privilege. A privilege can be removed from you. You don't live right, that privilege is removed. That name is removed from you. And that's what we're talking about. No doubt that's what the psalmist had in mind when he's talking about these things. A walk of worship, praise and thanksgiving. You know, many years ago, animal sacrifices ended, but the sacrifice of gratitude will never be cut out. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 teaches us that. As we live our lives here on this side of eternity, we are to do so with humble gratitude towards our Lord, in walking in our humble worship to Him. And I appreciate what Grant said this morning. I heard him loud and clear in his prayer. It's not just about what we do in these walls, but our worship should continue 24/7 outside of these walls. Even when misfortunes come, we don't make the worst of them. But we make the best of them. I don't know what the future holds for you. But I can guarantee you if you walk as what's described to us in Psalm 100, if you walk as a child of God before too long, there's going to be a challenge that you face. A tough decision you have to be made. As a father, a discussion you have to have with your young girls about modesty. With your son about how to carry himself and treat young ladies. There's going to be discussions that have to be made with your husband or your wife or other extended family members about why you live the way that you do and why your family lives the way that they do. And it could that could ripple effect into the job place, and there could be consequences from that. I don't know what holds you as far as sickness is concerned. Maybe some sickness comes upon you, somebody in your family. But don't walk into those situations with the worst always on your mind, but walk into those situations wondering, how can I use this situation to further God? You see, that's the idea here. Worship Him with thanksgiving. Isn't that what it says in verse 4? Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, no matter what's happening. I remember Gary when he was here, he said, when we come through the doors, we have to step up. What's funny about Gary's got bad knees, and that's why it was so impressive to me to see him do that. He said, leave the emotional baggage at the back door. You've come to worship the King. And we ought to do that. Whatever situations are affecting us, put them behind us. And not just when you're walking into the door, but in your life. Whatever's affecting you, suppress it. Put it behind you. You walk with the King. You are part of His family. Live like it. Sometimes I wonder if we're so focused on this earth that we forget to bless His name. You know, it's kind of interesting, that word there, that idea of blessing that we find in verse 4 there. It's the idea of elevate or to glorify, to honor, to commend. The idea is to eulogize, to praise, worship, hallow, or exalt. You know that's your responsibility here on this earth? Is to bless His name? To be less of you is the song that we sing, less of you and more of Him. That's what we find in this text. As we live our lives, He is to be exalted. You are to be lowered. He is to be exalted. And He's done. That's to happen through our life and how we live. And then as we close out this morning, verse 5, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures all generation. For the Lord is good. He's good. Do you believe that? No matter what we go through our life, He is good. And His goodness is clearly demonstrated, and we see it in its clearest form with the sending of His Son. And it leads those who are thoughtfully guilty, they think about their life, they examine, they realize that everything that we've said up to this point is not them. And they see that in Scriptures. And the honest heart will thoughtfully repent. They'll say, it's not me. It's not me. And they are thankful as they walk on this side of eternity. They walk in wonder that the God of heaven has been so good to me. Allowed me to live as long as I have and given me an opportunity to be right with Him. You know, Psalm 136, you can turn over there, I'm not going to read it, but Psalm 136 is an interesting psalm as well. It speaks of His mercy and how His mercy is everlasting. And why I wanted you to turn over there is I'm speaking, just skim through that, because you don't have to skim very long in Psalm 136 to see verses that are listed about His mercy. You know, it's inconceivable the extent and duration of His mercy. You know, it's interesting, if you take time, 26 times it's listed in that chapter about mercy. What is mercy? I'll tell you, if you've done something wrong, you know what mercy is because you are praying for it and you're desiring it in that situation. God is merciful, and we need to realize that in our life. God is not just stern, cold justice. Did you get what I mean? Most of you probably never stood in front of a judge. I have. And to have Him look at you as just what you've done and not as an individual, that's cold justice. We might have done something that we deserve, but He doesn't look at us as a human. He just looks at us with the facts. This is you. You've done this, so this is what needs to happen. Tell you, what if God was that? Where would we all be? If God was simply just cold justice, where would we be? I'll tell you where I would not be, Brother Nick. I wouldn't be here preaching this morning. And I dare say, if you believe that God was just cold justice, you wouldn't be sitting in the seats either. Because all of us are guilty. Each and every one of us have committed some kind of sin in our life. And I won't say one greater than another. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us. The gospel tells us that. But what God is a God of justice. But He's also a God of compassion. And He's not willing that any of us die in our sins. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 teaches us that. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And finally, His truth or faithfulness, as some translations say, endures to all generation. You know, my hope and your hope is that God keeps His promises. Am I right? If you didn't believe God kept His promises, would you be here this morning? What would be the point? If God was like us, I tell people all the time, they ask me to do something, yeah, I'll do it, and then I forget to do it, and you know, a week goes by and somebody reminds me, oh, boy, man, I forgot. You know, I said I was going to do it this day. I didn't mean to do that, but it slipped my mind. That's not God. He promised us that if we live like Psalm 100, and it's riddled all through the New Testament, if we live that psalm out, there's hope for us. It's a promise that God made. And we can hang on to that. God will never fail us. But I'll tell you what, we sure do fail each other, and I know I fail myself. But with God, that's not an option. Some things that God, remember we talked about this last week? Things that God cannot do? He can't lie. And I should have added this. God cannot make a mistake. And I hope you believe that as you live your life. Brethren, let's live with joy. Let's live Psalm 100 out this week. I hope that you read it every morning. When you wake up, read Psalm 100 and say, in this day, this is how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to try to be more of a joyful person. I'm going to try to live with knowledge by obeying His will. I'm going to live these Psalms out. Matter of fact, you know what? It's five chapters. Pick on Monday. Work on the first chapter. Really challenge yourself. Look within yourself, examine, and say, today I'm working on joy. The next day, day two, I'm working on this. And take Monday through Friday and really accelerate and excel in the qualities of walking as a child of God. The lesson's yours. And I hope and pray this morning, if you are here, you're not right with God, that you'll change that. You'll humbly be obedient to His will. You gain the knowledge this morning. I hope and pray that you'll act upon that knowledge that you've gained with great wisdom. Look inside your life. And if you're a child of God and there's something you need to do better, ask God for forgiveness and know assuredly that He's promised He'll forgive you. What will you do with the lesson? I hope and pray that it'll move you to action as we stand and as we sing.